بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of the program Revival in Motion. It is a weekly program where we look at ways and means that we can implement what we are learning, and we take that information and allow it to transform into knowledge, a knowledge that becomes a light for us in this world and in the hereafter. Our topic coming up later on today with our esteemed guest, Sister Juwairia Lunat Manga, is the topic Healthy and Happy Relationships. We'll be sharing more on that coming up in the next segment of the program. But first, inshallah, we start our program with a review in our series on the divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been exploring this over the last few months and slowly drawing to a close in the coming weeks, inshallah. In this journey through Allah's names, we have learned about both His attributes of majesty and beauty. The intention is to inspire fear, hope, and ultimately, love. If we misunderstand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may not see the wisdom behind the things that happen in the world or in our personal lives. We might not understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this greatness and this majesty and this power and this awe. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our errors and to guide us on the straight path. Ameen. When Bilal radiallahu anhu, a Sahabi, spoke a single specific word, it infuriated his tormentors. Bilal radiallahu anhu was an Abyssinian, modern-day Ethiopia slave who had accepted Islam without the permission of his masters. They were furious, so they tortured him. But all he would say was one word. As he was being beaten, he only said, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. God is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is both Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad. Most linguists say that they both come from the same root, but differ slightly in meaning. The root is waw, ha, dal, which means to be one, the only one, or to unify. Al-Ahad is completely unique. Al-Wahid has no partner. So we can say that Al-Wahid is the one, and Al-Ahad is the only one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only. Theologically, this was a response to the Quraysh, who said that they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanted to know what was so different about the Muslims who also worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Chapter 112, clarified the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is Al-Ahad and As-Samad, the eternal refuge. Now this name brings us back to the essence of Islam. It brings us back to what this is really about. It is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One, unique. And we cannot really talk about Al-Ahad without talking about the chapter which mentions this name, the chapter on sincerity, Surah Al-Ikhlas. How amazing that the name Al-Ahad is only mentioned once in the Quran, yet the chapter it appears in is equal to one-third of the whole Qur'an. It is possibly the most important name, since our profession of Iman and faith is based on it. La ilaha illallah, there is no deity but God. Some scholars have said that this chapter, Surat al-Ikhlas, is equal to a third of the Qur'an, because one third of the Qur'an talks about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet if you only have this surah, you have all you need to know Allah. Do you know why? The way the word Ahad is used in this ayah of the Qur'an is incredible. Ahad, used in Arabic, is used to negate. So one would say, La Ahad, meaning there is no one. To refer to someone, there would have to be an addition. Example, Ahadukum, which means one of you. However, without an addition, Ahad can only refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ahad negates anything else, and in this form can never be used to describe another. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It signifies His utter uniqueness. And this provides the basis for understanding His other names. Because while we as humans might possess a limited portion of His other attributes, such as knowledge or mercy, we cannot truly be compared in any way to them. This is why when Bilal radiallahu anhu said that one word, the Quraysh could not take it. It shattered all of their notions about their gods, as well as what they thought about Allah. That is why this chapter, Surat al-Ikhlas, is so beloved to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once sent a Sahabi out as the head of an expedition. During their travels, this Sahabi led those with him in Salah. He was the Imam, and he always recited Surat al-Ikhlas. When this expedition returned, the other Sahaba told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it. And he told them to ask the man, why did he always recite the surah in the Jama'ah Salah? The man replied, it is because the surah describes the most merciful, and therefore I love to recite it. Upon hearing the man's reply, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to this. Tell that man that Allah loves him. And this is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. The name Al-Wahid, on the other hand, appears 15 times in the Qur'an, 6 times with Allah's beautiful name, Al-Qahhar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar together. Because in order to overpower others, human beings usually need to bring their armies and cannot do it alone. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He is the one and He overpowers all others alone. Moreover, Imam al-Ghazali states that al-wahid is the one who can neither be divided nor duplicated. Theologically, this sums up the difference between Islam and other faiths. For example, those who say that God is one but is also three, or that God is one but he is in everything. The name Al-Wahid tells us that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is just that, one, without any parts or equals. So, what are the implications of knowing that Allah is one, unique, unparalleled? Can you feel what Bilal radiallahu anhu felt when he said, Ahadun Ahad? He felt conviction in his heart that there is nothing equal to him from which he was able to derive his strength. Not even torture could bring him down. And this is what the best of people were tried for. This is what the companion Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu was tried and tortured for. This is what Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, was tormented for. So you and I need to ask, is Allah one in my life? Do I direct everything to Him, my fears, my hopes, my needs? Realizing that Allah is one is to know that there is no love like His love, that there is no one who gives like Him, that there is no one else who can fill the void except Him, only Him, the One. His oneness and uniqueness force us to say to ourselves, I cannot put my desires in one hand and Allah in another. He is Al-Ahad. And the weight of that knowledge should negate our lower desires and those subtle things that you and I worship. Money, status, fame, or anything else. Knowing that Allah is Al-Wahid Al-Ahad reminds us that this life is about Him. He is our ultimate goal. This life is temporary. Its joys and the pains will disappear. And this knowledge should negate our worldly attachments. So the question is, how else do we connect to this name? We go for an ad break, and when we return on the other side of this, more about how you and I can connect to this divine, beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay with us. It is the second segment of this hour here on Revival in Motion, and my name is Rayhan Umar. It is great to be in your company, walhamdulillah, and we are currently looking at the divine name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ahad, and now seeking to understand how else can you and I connect to this beautiful, illuminated name. The first is sincerity. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ahad, we must direct our intentions towards His pleasure and love. And the effect of this is that we do not see people anymore in terms of their praise or their criticism, that it is all about Allah. This is the name, Al-Ahad, that brings everything to its essence and reminds us of the importance of sincerity. You might do things for praise, but you may or may not receive that praise. Even if you do receive it, it will slowly wither. If you prevent yourself from doing the right thing because of what people will say or do, then their reaction has become a false god or false idol that you worship alongside Allah. However, we know that anything done for Allah in the right manner will remain. If this oneness is realized in our hearts, That is when we actualize true freedom. That oneness will weigh heavily on the scales. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will save a man of his community. The record of those sins fills 99 books, each book extending as far as the eye can see. Against all this will be weighed the one good deed that he has, which is his witnessing that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, and it will outweigh all the rest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, nothing is of any weight compared to Allah's name. This hadith is recorded in the works of Imam Ahmad. The second thing we can do to connect to this divine name is to renew our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions, renew your faith. They said, O Messenger of Allah, how can we renew our faith? To which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say often, there is no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah. Also recorded in the books of Imam Ahmad. So why is this important? Why is it important for you and I to renew our faith? When the dunya takes over again, we become burdened by its worries and our intentions start to mix once more. And this statement will remind us what this life is really about. It will remind us of Al-Wahid Al-Ahad and all the implications of this mighty name. The next thing we learn from this name and through which we connect to our Creator is uniqueness. Sheikh Hisham Al-Awadi added that another way to connect to this name is to know that the One who is truly unique has created you in a unique way too, and that you have your own purpose to fulfill. So try to leave a legacy that is specific to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions, are you not able to read a third of the Qur'an in one night? They found this very difficult and replied that nobody amongst them could do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah, the One, the Self-Sufficient, Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, equals a third of the Qur'an. And this is mentioned in Al-Bukhari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love from the Qur'an, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly the servants of Al-Ahad. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Now, one of the key issues that we find amongst our youth is that many of them experience, of course, apart from the usual stresses and pressures in their teen and tween years, and then there's the physical and hormonal changes, emotional, psychological, but many Muslims have to deal, young Muslims also have to deal with subtle and open discrimination based on their faith. And it makes it very easy then for our youth to fall into despair or pessimism. And so we do need to step in as families, parents, caregivers, community leaders, mentors, step in and help, you know, revive some of that optimism in them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, give glad tidings and do not scare people away. Make things easy and do not make things difficult. Abu Dawood. So I do want to share with you today some ways in which we can help instill optimism in our young Muslims. So one of the things that we want to be aware of is if we have family WhatsApp or Telegram groups, let's ensure that on a weekly basis there is some feel-good, positive news. And there's plenty that we cover. Our news team at Radio Islam covers it regularly. Feel-good stories, positive stories, stories that uplift us. And nowadays, it's so easy to find that online or to find it being shared. One of the good news mediums, or information mediums rather, that share it is the social media account called Ilm Feed, right? And they share some beautiful stories on Ilm Feed, ILMFEED. And they share some beautiful stories and narratives of great things that everyday Muslims like you and I are doing and helping in our communities. So let's do that. Let's find and let's share positive news and positive Muslim news, right? Another thing that we can do to uplift the optimism in young Muslims, our tweens and teens and young adults, is to encourage them to take a weekly good deeds challenge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, the deeds of humanity are exhibited every Monday and Thursday. Then Allah will further pardon every Muslim for every behavior, except the two believers who part from each other's company. Allah will say to the angels, delay the two of them. So encourage young Muslims to aim for a number of good deeds to be completed, for example, every Monday, you know, and then discuss what you did on the Thursday. And those good deeds could range from getting someone a glass of water, to holding the door for someone, you know, or donating some of their allowance or spending money to a good cause. Because doing good makes us feel good and it instills a higher sense of optimism all round. So you could even have a weekly good deeds challenge in your family WhatsApp or Telegram group. And that could involve the youngsters living with you, but also relatives that you may not be seeing regularly or live further away, and have a good deeds challenge. Like this week, let's all make it a challenge. Let's all live up to that challenge to hold the door for someone else, or to offer a smile to someone of the same gender, you know, or to move something out of the pathway that may be an obstruction. Or to give a percentage of more than we usually do in sadaqah, or, you know, to touch base with a friend, a family member that we haven't heard from in a long time, or to apply the sunnah of drinking water. So it could be many things, and that just really lifts up the spirit and optimism in young children, inshallah, and youngsters. Another way is to read and reflect on surahs 93 and 94 of the Quran. If you're doing a family study circle or discussion or before bed, talk about these two surahs, surah 93 and 94. They are among the best pieces of divine advice about being upbeat and getting through life's rough patches. In particular, talk about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the many blessings he had given him, and that's in Surah 93. And then the ayah in Surah Duha, and then in Surah 94, Surah Inshirah or Alam Nasrah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us with every difficulty there is ease. Another thing we can do to build up the optimism or instill optimism in our youth is to help them develop their tawakkul muscles. So tawakkul is a major concept in our relationship as a believer with our Creator. And when as Muslims we fully practice tawakkul by putting our full trust in Allah, then we realize that we are not all powerful, but Allah is. So we may control, Allah has given us control of some variables, but ultimately Allah controls everything. Now, after any type of disappointment in particular, help a young Muslim see that as long as they did their best in any given situation, we all need to exercise tawakkul and not succumb to despair or
frustration. So that's really important. The next point seems so simple, but really is one of the easiest ways to uplift our youth and instill optimism in them, and that's smiling. Not only is it a sunnah to smile, firstly, the most important reason, but did you also know that scientifically it's proven to lift your mood? It may be hard the first few days or week if you're not the smiling type, but if you make an extra effort to do this, you know, to smile at the youngsters in your family and encourage them to do the same, this short burst of a good mood will eventually, inshallah, become a good habit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us to mentor and harness the talents and potential in our youth and instill in them a balanced level of optimism. Ameen. So coming up in our next segment, we hear from Jawaria Lunat. She is an alima and a fitness trainer. And we talk to her and we hear back from her about healthy and happy relationships. We ask her, if we are to look through the lens of Quran and Sunnah, what do we learn about the family unit or family structure in Islam? We also ask her to explain the concept of Salatul Rahim. And she shares with us tips on how to build healthy and happy family relationships in Islam. She chats to us about what it means to treat our families with ihsan and provides some general nasiha to our listeners. All this coming up in the next segment here on Revival in Motion. Stay with us. Joining us on the program now is Jawaria Lunat, and she is an alima and a fitness trainer. And we have Muallima talking to us today about healthy and happy relationships. Muallima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and a warm welcome to the program. We are very grateful to have your time and your experience and expertise take us through this important topic. Now, if we are to look through the lens of Quran and Sunnah, what do we learn about the family unit and structure in Islam?
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah for having me on. So with regards to the question, family relations is the cornerstone of our society. It has been highly emphasized in the Hadith Sharif as well as to keep family ties, and it's been disencouraged greatly to break off family ties. There are quite a few hadiths regarding family ties, and one of the hadith is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said something to the effect that the person who breaks the bond of kinship will not enter paradise. So breaking your family ties is one step to, you know, further away from Jannah, and that is not our goal. Our goal is Jannah. It is also reported by Aisha radiallahu anha that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that family ties is derived from Allah. So kinship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the kinship. He made the family ties. He had written that you're going to be related to so and so. This is going to be your mother. This is going to be your son. This is going to be your uncle. This is going to be your grand aunt, right? And if anyone maintains ties of kinship, Allah maintains ties with him. So having good family relationship means having a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anyone cuts him off, then Allah cuts him off. So it is so important that we maintain family ties, as it is so important. And when we look in the Hadith Sharif, etc., Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would constantly emphasize family ties, even if it comes to charity, for example. Who's the first person you give? You have somebody who is in your family, right? So even whenever there's a time of need, you know, when we're looking at, you know, for example, Syria is in need, or you know, there was something happened in South Africa and people are in need, but you know that a family member of yours is suffering, then immediately they become rightful if you are going to give that charity. So it is so important that we maintain family ties, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such. And of course, when you look in the Quran, etc., even such family ties like your parents, are so important. People break off family ties, even with their parents, with their sons, with their brothers and sisters. A lot of these things come up in inheritance, or somebody's favoring someone. My mother did this, my sister did that, and we break off family ties. But even when we look into the Quran Sharif, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we cannot even say oof to our mother, for example. So the chance to actually break off totally from her, not speak to her, they shouldn't even be able to be that chance that exists.
Alhamdulillah. So now that we've laid that foundation, could we move into a definition of a term? Can you explain to us, please, when we hear the term Salatul Rahim, what does this concept mean?
This would loosely be translated as maintaining family ties. However, you know, even in the, this was inscribed on the sword of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this important tenet of Islam, which is keeping family ties. And what does actually family ties mean? You know, we might perceive family ties to be those that are good to you, you must be good to them. You know, invite people to your nikahs, those that invite you, and Friday lunch, etc. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that family ties is silman qata'ak, to join ties with those who break ties. تُؤْتِي مَنْ حَرَمَكْ, and to give those who prevent from you. وَعَفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ, and forgive those who harm you. So what is family ties? Is family ties really all those that invite you for Eid, you must invite them for Eid, all those that invite you to their house, you must keep with them, those that are good to you, you must be good to them, the sister or the sister never ever broke, you know, family ties with you. She never ever fought with you, so your children must be friends with her children. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described that it is the opposite. Those that do not want anything to do with you, those that break off family ties with you, those that ignore you, don't speak to you, be rude to you, are harsh with you, those are the ones that you maintain family ties with. Yes, you maintain with everyone, but you maintain with those who do not want anything to do with you. They break ties with you, keep the ties. Of course, it does not mean you unnecessarily have to be in their house and in their face and spend hours and disturb them or make them uncomfortable. But make salam, have a smiling, cheerful face, even if they want absolutely nothing to do with you. Do not speak bad about them, even when they speak bad about you. So join time with those who break ties. Then give those who withhold from you. So you're this person invited you to their wali, didn't invite you to their walima. But now you have the opportunity, you have the space for your walima, invite them, even if they didn't. It was Eid, for example, and say they gave gifts and you were there, but they gave your brothers, sisters, but they didn't give you. No problem, you give them. You're traveling the world, you're going overseas, you're buying for your family, the one didn't buy for you, but you bought for everyone else. No problem, give them. So, to give those who withhold from you. She didn't give me, so I'm not going to give her. She didn't invite me to her wedding. I'm not going to invite her to my daughter's wedding. None of that exists in Islam. It's to give those who don't give you, and then forgive those who harm you. It's very easy in the times of anger, etc., to say hurtful things to people, to harm people. So it is important that you still forgive people, even when they are being harmful. You know, they have harmed you, they've harmed your family, they've said hurtful things, they said things that broke your heart, and you do not want to forgive them because they hurt you, but because they family, and because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said so, and because Allah will be happy with you, and you keeping ties with them means a better relationship with Allah, and you keeping ties means your entry into Jannah, then you forgive. Because it's not always about other people. We live in this hallucination world where she does this, so I must do that. That is not the world we live in. The world that we live in is, what am I doing for me today that's going to be better for me, that's going to improve my relationship with Allah, that's going to improve my entry into Jannah, that is going to improve my Nabi smiling at me on the day of Qiyamah and being happy to meet me and saying, this is my ummati. That is the purpose. Our purpose is not, she was bad to me, so I'm going to treat her the same. She blocked me off WhatsApp, so I'm going to block her off WhatsApp. she did this to my child, so my child mustn't be friends with her child. That, it's not about others. It's about you. Are you going to be better? Are you going to follow the hadith? Or are you going to stoop as well down to their level? Don't allow people's bad actions to allow you to be bad as well. Because you being bad as well means that they actually control you. Because they allowed you to be bad in return. They gave you, you like a puppet, they controlled your ability to be kind, to be sweet. Because now them angering you means you no more in charge. You no more in control. Now you handed control to them. And especially if those that are bad to you, that's the last thing you want to happen. So, to maintain family ties.
Jazakumullah khair for that, Ma'alima. Could you perhaps share with us some tips on how to build healthy and happy family relationships in Islam? Three tips on how we can do so, please.
So when it comes to maintaining healthy and happy family relations, you know, we could say three things, but I could think of just a few more. Number one is to be grateful to your family. Whether, you know, you're the daughter, you're the mother, or you're the sister or the aunt, just because we elder or we have a higher stature doesn't mean that good qualities should not be a part of us, that always people must be grateful to us, always people must reach out to us. No. Again, it comes down to us. So number one, be grateful to your family, to your parents, to your sisters, to your siblings, to your aunts, to your nieces, whatever role they've played in your life. Say, I am grateful, Jazakallah, you know, you really helped me when I got married, you really made me feel comfortable. Jazakallah for that. Or, you know, when my son completed his hifz, you know, you really went out of your way. Jazakallah for bringing the barfi. Because we family, it's not written now in family, because it's your family, they have to bring something to your brother's hifz jalsa, to your sister's walima, or when they come to visit on a Friday, everyone must bring, or if you invite for a bride, everyone has to bring a salad unless you ask them to. It's not written. Those things are not written. Those are our own cultural beliefs. Now people must bring this and they have to. You can't go empty-handed. Those are extra things, pressure we put on ourselves, right? So if someone did go out of their way, they did bring baking for the tea, be grateful. Show your gratitude, because no one owes us anything. They didn't have to do it, right? So, number one, gratitude. Number two, if there is something that happened in the family, say for example, there was an altercation, there was an argument, there was a fight, keep silent. Choose silence in times of anger, in times of when the air is thick. And think properly about what happened, and if after you've thought, you've pondered, you took time out, you read Allah makhilli wa akhtarli, you asked Allah for His guidance, and then you feel there's something important that had to be mentioned back in a way of wisdom, then respond. Otherwise, choose silence. Number three, exchange gifts. Right? So, tahadu tahabu, exchange gift with each other, you will love each other. This is from the hadith, as well as gratitude. You know, malam yashkirin nas, lam yashkirillah. He who is not thankful to people will not be thankful to Allah. As well as keeping silent is in the hadith, that if you have nothing good to say, be silent. And give gifts with each other. So, if you want to give gifts, whenever. You don't have to have a specific day, it doesn't have to be Eid, it doesn't have to be this specific day, 10th Muharram. You can give gifts whenever you want. You see something, you think someone will like it, give gifts. It's exchanging gifts, creates love. And then spreading of salam. Make salam. Make salam to people. There's a hadith, something to the effect that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will not enter Jannah unless you believe. And you will not believe until you love each other. Should I not inform you of an action that if you do it, it will make you love each other? Spread salam amongst you. So make salam. When you see your family members, make salam. Don't have that, although you're family, but there's this crew and this clique and this people and these aunties' rooms and this room and that room and the smart people's room and the rich people's room. It must be unity. So even if you don't have a lot in common with other people, but Follow the sunnah, spread salam, give gifts. Be grateful for their presence, for whatever they've done for you, for them being your family and being good to you. You know, and if there happens to be a problem, then choose silence.
And what does it mean to treat our families with ihsan? We hear this term often, but how can we understand this in terms of family dynamics and relationship dynamics? Can you please take us through that?
So, what is ihsan? Ihsan is doing for someone something that they cannot do in return, or they could perhaps never ever exchange the favor. So ihsan is to have ihsan in your family. For every single family member, whoever they are, niece, aunt, cousin, always work from ihsan. When you give with zero expectation, when you assist, whether it's with homework, with their children's nikahs, with their kids' exams, whether you help them write a speech, whether you help them with their jalsa prep, whatever it is, with zero expectation that they have to do the same for you when it is your time, or for them to give you something in return, a gift, money, etc. Ihsan is to do with absolute purity, with zero expectations, truly only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is to then do for those people you know who can't do for you. So you have a very poor family member, go out of your way to take care of them, financially support them, give them, because you know you're not going to get back in return and you are happy with that. Then, as opposed to, yes, you should give everyone, but it shouldn't be that we only give our rich family because we know when we go to buy, we're going to buy them, when they go to buy, they're going to buy for us. No. Ihsan is to treat with kindness, firstly, to everyone, and to assist people without expectation that they can help you, truly from your pure heart, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Whether it's charity, whether it's loans, emotional support during crisis, physically helping them, being there for them, letting them know you have their back, being really having their back, whether they're poor in your family, whether they're rich in your family, whether they have, you know, they have family stature or great lineage or they don't have, whether, no matter the case, doing for people from an absolute place of truth and purity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, and your only expectation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khair for that. What would your nasiha be to our listeners, Malima, today?
My general advice would be is that, you know, in these times of trials and tribulations with COVID, etc., and, you know, the law of social distancing, that does not mean we must distance ourselves from our family and break off family ties because there's a virus in the air. It does not mean that we sever family ties. It does not mean we abandon people who are in need. It does not mean that we leave our ailing mothers and sisters and in their homes all alone. That causes them to go into depression. They don't see any of their family. They are ill. They have no one to take care of them. If they fall, trip, break their hands, arms, there's no one to look after them. To remember that we are made of pristine purity, of love, of light, and not to let the fear of our death overcome us so much that we totally abandon those that we should be taking care of, the old, the weak, the sickly. If we have to abandon the sickly, if we abandon the old, if we have to abandon those that I need, then who's going to take care of them, right? And if we're taking care of them, then of course Allah is taking care of us. So it's so important that just because we have to keep a distance does not mean break off your family ties, does not mean abandon people, does not mean leave people, you know, now no longer financially support them because what if tomorrow we don't have, what if tomorrow we don't have a job. Still, loving today, loving the now, love with the health you have, love with the the money you have, with the goodness you have, offer that to people, even in these difficult times. And we often will then take people for granted and leave people and not pay attention to them. And then only when we lose them and when they're no longer here do we regret and think about them all the time. And ask Allah to forgive us for having, you know, such bad relationships or having left people or abandoned them. So let not that... let us not leave people and let us not regret the relationships we didn't keep and the people we didn't look after. So inshallah, let us always act from a place of love and light, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every child of Adam, was created on kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitrah, that every child was created on purity. So we are truly deep within, above all the layers of fear, above all the layers of growing up in trauma and hurt and pain and, you know, defenses and borders and gates that we put in front of each other. And but we are truly deep within love and light. And every single action in our life, whether it's family, whether it's neighbors, whether it's friends, no matter whether it's towards the ill, the healthy, the needy, the teachers, children, always to act from your truth, from your place of love and light.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah khairan for that, and we thank Mu'allima for her time today and the insight and she has given us with the knowledge on how to build happy, healthy relationships in Islam. Jazakumullah khair for that. And that brings us to the close of this week's edition of Revival in Motion. Please continue daily to make it your mission to live by the principles of Islam and make it a part of your journey on a daily basis, to be applying all of the beauty of Islam that you learn. Set that intention daily and put out that effort, and Allah will make it easy, inshallah. Until we meet again next week, do keep us all at Radio Islam in your du'as. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.